You are tuned in to another episode of Hog Beat Radio. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined, as always, by Riley McFerrin, the managing editor of HogBeat.com, and I am Mason Choate, the publisher of HogBeat.com, which is the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks, who just wrapped up their second scrimmage of fall camp, Riley, and we talked with Sam Pittman afterwards. We've been at practice all week. We were not at the scrimmage because it was closed to the media and the public. But we heard what happened. We got some stats. We got some good performances, some bad performances. We're going to talk about that. We got a lot to get to from just this week, all the practices that we've been at, all the stuff that we've heard, some injury updates, some stuff going viral for Arkansas football. So we're going to talk about that. We got a lot to get to on Hog Beat Radio. We're glad that you're tuned in with us. And before we get started, want to let everybody know that you should subscribe to HogBeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. Riley, why should they subscribe to HogBeat.com?
Well, Mason, we offer the best coverage for Arkansas football, basketball, baseball. That's recruiting. That's fall camp. The season is about to get going. If you guys want, you know, weekly coverage of everything happening with football and then game coverage, we've got you covered. So make sure to go to HAWGBEAT.com, HogBeat.com. Subscribe there for the best Razorbacks coverage.
There you go. It's less than $10 a month, folks. It is worth the price. And I always say, if you can't afford it, just shoot me a DM and I'll pay for it for you. Literally, I actually will. I'm 100% honest when I say that. So if you actually can't afford the $10 a month, then hit me up if you really want to read about the Razorbacks. All right, let's talk about those Razorbacks, Riley. 8 interceptions in Thursday's scrimmage. Let's just get straight into it. 8 interceptions. Now, unlike some other, I guess, people or entities or whatever you want to call it, who are going to act like it was a bad scrimmage and everything, the world is ending and let's burn everything down because Arkansas threw 8 interceptions. I'm pretty sure Taylen Green only threw one of them. Now, I know he at least threw one, potentially more, but it sounds like a lot of these interceptions were not Taylen Green, first of all, who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Arkansas Razorbacks, if you didn't know that. But also, I think, 3 were off tip balls, which is something that Bobby Petrino literally talked about this week, of like, in the SEC, a tip ball is an interception. What happened? 3 in this scrimmage. So Sam Pittman said it's concerning, Riley.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Pittman said that 3 of the first 4 interceptions were off tip passes. So kind of just goes to show that, you know, those tip passes, like you said, you tip a pass, it's probably going to be a pick in the SEC. And, you know, also, like you said, it's not, you know, it's a concern for sure, but how many of those did Taylen Green throw? And, you know, he definitely didn't throw all 8, right? So you got KJ Jackson, who's a freshman. You have Malachi Singleton, who's your backup. And Singleton, he had actually struggled a little bit with turnovers this week in fall camp. So not a huge concern. I definitely don't think it's the end of the world. It is a scrimmage. And, I mean, going into the scrimmage, the big talking point, especially for the defense, Travis Williams had talked about it, was starting fast. And so that was kind of their big thing going into the scrimmage. It seems clear to me they accomplished that today.
Yep, I agree. Let's hear what Sam Pittman had to say about the interceptions, though, because, I mean, I said it's concerning. Sam Pittman said it's concerning. Here's Coach Pittman. If it'll play.
Big number. How many was Taylen involved with, and is it concerning?
Man, I don't know that answer. He may. I don't know for sure. Yeah, it's concerning. It's concerning whether it was him or somebody else, to be honest with you. But, you know, of the first 4, 3 of them were tip balls, you know, which has to do with catching a ball and accuracy of throwing the football. I know there was at least 2 of those 3 that if we just catch the ball, it's not a pick, you know, it's a completion. So, you know, interceptions, you look at them on the quarterback a lot of times, all of us do, but a lot of times it's on catching the football, running the correct route, accuracy, and certainly the protection of the offensive line. So I'll have Kyle give you that answer. I don't know.
All right. So we kind of talked about it. We talked about how Taylen Green maybe, I think, 1 for sure, potentially more than that. But for them, it sounds like the majority of the troubles maybe were not Taylen Green. So he mentioned the receivers, and if you would catch the ball, worth noting, Andrew Armstrong, Tyrone Broden did not go through the scrimmage. So I think they did go through, like, warm-up, stretches, all that good stuff. But, you know, Armstrong still got the hamstring. Broden's got a turf toe issue. So those are your top two wide receivers who you really haven't had either one of them in team drills. I think Armstrong went through fastball one day this week, which is just like an 11-on-11 team period where they run some plays. They're not really going full speed, but it is a team period. Haven't seen Broden do fastball in a while. So that is notable. I would assume the first team wide receiver is Riley. If I had to take a guess, it was probably Isaiah Satania for sure. CJ Brown, who has been consistently with the first team offense. I mean, it's been very consistent. He's a freshman. So, and I've been on the CJ Brown hype train for a while now, Riley, by the way. People should know that.
Yeah.
And then who else? Maybe Monte Harrison. See, that third wide receiver spot is an interesting thing because you have Broden, you have Armstrong, and Satania. So, like, those are your three starters. But when you don't have Broden and Armstrong, you have Satania. We've been seeing C.J. Brown consistently. Like I said, who's next? That's kind of been the third name that has been rotated in and out. I think we've seen Jaden Wilson there. We've seen Monte Harrison, who I mentioned. Who else? I don't think Davion Dozier has played first team.
Mm-mm.
There's one big one that I'm missing that I can't
Isaac,
think of.
Isaac
Tislaw. Tislaw is one of them. Worth noting, though, Jordan Anthony caught a 65-yard touchdown from Taylen Green in this scrimmage. So that's Jordan Anthony with the first-team offense
at some point.
So a college football 25 legend, Jordan Anthony.
Very true. That speed is crazy.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have here, Riley? I lost my train of thought. We were talking about offense.
We were talking about offense. Maybe we could talk about a little bit with the offensive line, just how, you know, Kudus has been out. There's been a bit of a musical chair situation at the guard spot. And, I mean, Mason, it kind of seems like a Marion Harris taking over that left guard spot over a guy like Amari Wiggins.
Yep. So that's like the biggest thing, right? Is the offensive line depth. That's anytime anybody has asked me anything about this team in fall camp, I've been telling them the offensive line depth is concerning because Kudus has been out since the second practice. The second practice is the last time we saw him. And so he's got a back injury. Sam Pittman said, what'd he say? Something about how maybe Monday,
maybe the Monday after potentially.
Yeah. So look, if you know Sam Pittman by this point, you know that we have no clue when Patrick Kudus is going to be back. He could be back tomorrow for all we know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Amarian Harris. So, you know, I think I was the only person to notice that Amarian Harris was first team left guard on Saturday. So this most recent Saturday when you remember, cause you were at the practice, I was watching, they were doing some pass protection drills. And a lot of the other people were over there when they were doing whatever DBs were doing. And, I mean, Amarian Harris was first-team left guard. And I wrote it on hogbeat.com, and, like, nobody said anything. And then we get to practice this week, and Amarian Harris is first-team left guard. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, did you see Amarian Harris at first-team left guard? And I was like, yeah, I did on Saturday.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's big. I mean, it wasn't that long ago he played in that Kansas game. I think it was at right guard that time, and he kind of stood out in that game. So I think best case scenario, if Patrick Kudus, you know, if that timetable is elongated, or if when he does get back, he's not like fully ready to go, I think best case scenario, Amarian Harris kind of taking the reins, taking control of that spot would be best for the offensive line.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Amarian Harris, here's what Landon Jackson had to say about him.
Gone up against Amarian Harris. I mean, if you have, what's that been like, and what have you been impressed? Coach Pittman was saying he's been really improved this fall. Just what have you seen out of him?
Yeah, his mindset. He came into this year with a different mindset than he previously had. He's willing. I mean, he's been working. He knows what he wants, and he wants to play. He's tired of not playing. So, I mean, he's coming in working real hard every day, and I mean, he's had a great fall camp, and I mean, he's worked his way into running with the ones now, and I definitely think that I could see that sticking because he's a really talented player, real good hands, real good feet, and he's putting on the weight. I mean, he went from being too heavy when he first got here to dropping like 100 pounds and got too light, and now he's starting to finally put on the weight. I think he's sitting right at 300. So I mean, I feel like he's doing pretty good.
All right. Pretty ringing endorsement from one of the best defensive ends in college football right there, who, by the way, had 3 sacks on Thursday.
Pretty good performance today, I'd say.
So, we'll get into Landon Jackson, but sticking with Amarian Harris. So, if you don't know, we're reading off of the fancy paper roster here, which I get at every single practice because I like to have them laying around the house. You know what I mean?
You can never have too many of them.
Any room in the house, I could tell you the height, weight, high school, anything you need to know about anything on Arkansas's roster, I can tell you at any room in my house. So Amarian Harris, 6'7", 300. That's the big thing is that, you know, he was super heavy when he came in out of Joe T. Robinson, and then he dropped the weight. He's been like sub 300 at times over the past 2 years, and then they've been working him out at tackle a lot. Now he's at that guard spot, which you mentioned he played well at in the Kansas game. That is correct. So, yeah, man, I like Amarian Harris there. It's no offense to Amari Wiggins, but Amari Wiggins is a smaller guy. He's like 6'3". He's a little stocky, more of a center. He's the backup center. And so I would prefer Amarian Harris there. Honestly, like on the last episode of this podcast, or we don't want to call it a podcast. We want to call it a show. A show.
Gotta get the branding right.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh yeah. We did buy or sell, and I sold Tykes Crawford. I'd like to have Tykes Crawford as my starting left guard over even Amarian Harris. You know, like he has the build of a great guard. He's hurt again now. He's got a shoulder now, and he had an ankle earlier.
You're right, and kind of going off of that, Pittman actually said today that Tykes Crawford went down with a little bit of an injury, a minor injury, said nothing major, maybe just a little shoulder. But that if he had stayed healthy, I don't know, maybe I misunderstood him, but he said Amarian Harris, he wanted him to kind of get some work in at left tackle. And then Amari Wiggins and Crawford are kind of work at left guard, is my understanding. So, and he even said with Crawford out, you know, without injury, it really affected the rotation. So, you know, If Crawford was healthy, how would that, you know, maybe change things at that left guard spot? Because Amarian Harris, he did come to Arkansas, I believe, as a tackle. And at 6'7", he's got that tackle frame. So, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see how he'll work in at guard. Clearly, he's shown that he has the stuff, he has the talent. So I don't think it'll be too big of a drop off without a guy like Crawford there.
Yeah. Okay. That's enough of a backup offensive lineman, because whenever Kudus comes back, he's going to be the starter. Hopefully, let's just hope
very
that
true.
Kudus, not hopefully that he would be the starter, but just hopefully he comes back in general for Arkansas' sake. So let's talk about some more of these defensive stats though. So we mentioned Landon Jackson had 3 sacks. We mentioned the 8 interceptions. That was a big thing, but also TJ Metcalf. I need to say that better. I need to say his name better. TJ Metcalf, 2 interceptions. And guess what? His younger brother, the freshman, Tevis, had an interception. So those Metcalf boys, we've heard it multiple times now, the Metcalf boys are different. They might actually be different. Not that I was doubting it, but they're proving it on the field, Riley.
I mean, it kind of just runs through that family, right? There's no point in doubting it anymore. You're related to DK Metcalf, a great receiver in the NFL. Those two guys, I mean, they've been saying TJ Metcalf is the most – I think it's TJ. Yeah, TJ is the returning player. He's the most improved player on the defense. So, you know, how much is that going to translate to the field in reality? I don't know. I do think it'll help them, you know, specifically at that safety spot in the secondary, but you know, pretty bright future for both of them. And I mean, they were only two pieces of a secondary that had 8 interceptions. So, you know, another guy like Larry Worth III, a linebacker transfer that has played in that slot spot in that nickel. He had a pick. And then, you know, a few other players that are maybe a little bit lower down the totem pole had some picks as well.
Yep. You know, I thought it was interesting, and I don't know how many people went and watched the Sam Pittman press conference, which is available, by the way, on the Hogbeat YouTube, HAWGBEAT.com. Just type it in on YouTube. You'll find it there. A lot of great content, not just press conferences, practice videos. We've been doing the shorts game. I need to figure out how to really edit shorts. I've been meaning to text you about this, by the way. Let's just talk about it now. I need to figure out how to do those videos where you can have like the caption going at the same time as they're talking. You know what I mean?
I definitely think there is a step up, a level up for the shorts that we can take to really increase the quality there.
Yep. Okay. So I thought it was interesting. Speaking of TJ Metcalf, Sam Pittman said that TJ Metcalf is kind of challenging Hudson Clark there at the safety spot. So Jaden Johnson for sure starter at safety. But we did see this week, I believe it was Tuesday's practice, TJ Metcalf, first team safety, folks, not Hudson Clark. Now, anytime I say first team, second team, third team, we're talking about depth chart stuff, it's from fastball. So we get to see fastball, which is always at the beginning of practice, supposed to set the tone of practice. It is not an official depth chart. Nothing about it is official. Jalen Braxton didn't go through fastball for like the past three practices, and every single time someone on our message board is like, where's Jalen Braxton? He's there. He's present. He's practicing. He's not going through fastball. So I say all that to say, just because TJ Metcalf was first team safety and Hudson Clark was not, doesn't really mean anything. But because Sam Pittman said it, now it means something.
Right. And I think, you know, whenever you said that TJ Metcalf was first team over Hudson Clark, the entire state of Arkansas kind of let out a collective plea of excitement there.
Let's just say now, before we go any further, that we are not in agreement with the state of Arkansas on that.
Right.
Not saying Hudson Clark's an all first team all SEC performer, but he's definitely better than people give him credit for.
Right. And, you know, like I was saying, maybe not justifiably, but, you know, I do think that having depth there at that position is a good thing. But, you know, I do agree that the Hudson Clark hate is a little bit overdone. So, you know, we'll kind of see how that position plays out.
Yep. Some more defensive stats here. Some guys had sacks. Eric Gregory, Danny Saili, the transfer from BYU. Cam Ball, tackle for loss. Dylan has tackle for loss and a sack. Shout out. Ooh. Kiwi Rose, Brad Spence, both added a tackle for loss. So offensively, let's hit some more of these stats. I should have done the thing where I can share my screen. Let's play some practice video while we do this. This will be good for the people who like to watch on YouTube. There we go. Some practice video on there, and you can see our faces. All right. Jordan Anthony, 65-yard touchdown. We mentioned that one. Isaac Tislaw had a pair of 8-yard touchdown catches. Taylen Green threw one of them, and Malachi Singleton threw the other. So Isaac Tislaw played some first-team offense. There's an answer to one of our questions. Luke has 30-yard catch and 2 15-yard catches, so that's at least 60 receiving yards for Luke has. Jaquinnon Jackson, 25-yard catch from Taylen Green. Jaden Wilson, 15-yard catch from Malachi Singleton. Varquez Gums, 18-yard touchdown from Malachi Singleton in the red zone. And Andreas Pushka, 14-yard touchdown in the red zone from KJ Jackson. We need to mention – go ahead.
I was going to say, Pushka, last week we mentioned that he had a 60-yard reception during the first scrimmage. That was actually incorrect. It was corrected after the fact. It was a 6-yard reception. So he's not hustling down the field maybe quite like we thought he was.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure in the moment, both of us were like, 60 yards from
something didn't add up there.
60 yards from Pushka. Okay. It didn't seem right. Turns out it wasn't. So here we go. Notable running plays, and then we will wrap up the scrimmage recap. Rashad Abinion, 2-yard touchdown early, and another 2-yard touchdown in red zone late. Braylon Russell, a 30-yarder, a 25-yarder, and a 7-yard touchdown. Malachi Singleton had a 30-yard touchdown on a scramble. KJ Jackson had a 20-yard run on an option play. And then Rashad Abinion also added a 30-yard run late in the scrimmage. Any takeaways from that? I mean, Braylon Russell.
Exactly. Braylon Russell is a freak. I think we all knew that. I'm not gonna go over the whole Braylon Russell spiel again, but he's gonna contribute this year for sure. Good to see, you know, both backup quarterbacks get some scramble plays, get some option plays. I mean, the big thing, even Bobby Petrino mentioned it, that, you know, no one is gonna know how good Malachi Singleton is until they have to tackle him. And so, you know, you kind of see it here. He's able to scramble for a 30-yard touchdown. He's known for being pretty quick. You know, I don't know if we'll get to see him a whole lot this year. Maybe against UAPB, we'll see him flash. You know, but besides that, Rashawn DeBinion, we kind of know what we're getting there. had a good freshman year, kind of, you know, took it back last season, and, you know, he's kind of due for another big junior year, so.
Yeah. Speaking of Dubinion, we got to talk about his player prop later on because I think it might be my favorite on Bet Saracen.
Interesting. Okay.
So good stuff. A lot more coverage on that and more on hogbeat.com. So go check it out. The big things from the scrimmage, we hit most of it there, Riley. I like it. I mean, any other takeaways from you? I think, go ahead.
I was going to say the only other thing maybe I took away, we don't have to touch on it very long, is the tackling issue. Yep. The tackling. But that seems to be, I don't know, a recurring issue every season. Maybe I feel like every coaching staff probably talks about tackling at some point or another in every scrimmage. So, you know, maybe not too much to take away from that. And then finally, the special teams unit. You know, Matthew Shipley seems to kind of be taking the bull by the horns finally. Had another big day. I think he made 3 kicks, including a 50-yarder. So, you know, that hole left by Cam Little over the offseason was pretty big, but, you know, Shipley might be able to do a pretty good job filling it.
Yep. Another special teams thing, Sam Pittman said that Isaiah Satania is the return man. So he said, well, I know Isaiah Satania is the return man. He didn't specify punt or kick, but I assume both. So
I would assume both. I mean, it's not surprising.
Yep. All right, good stuff from the scrimmage. I think that I don't feel better about this team after the scrimmage. That's for dang sure.
No, definitely feel a little bit worse, actually.
If you want to ask me about my takeaways, and, you know, another thing that I didn't like to hear, because Pittman was asked if he feels like he's on schedule for where they want to be, and he said he saw for the first time yesterday, being Wednesday, he thought they were sluggish during the practice. But another thing to mention, and it's notable, is that they are having a significant amount more practices before school starts this year because of the earlier kickoff on Thursday. So I don't know. I mean, he said that that's kind of like, usually they have like a week and a half of fall camp before school starts. This year, it's about 2.5 weeks. So I don't know how different it is for them. Like, it's got to be different for the coaching staff because the players probably aren't around as much, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume there's an adjustment. And, you know, I feel like with a sluggish comment, you never want to hear that, obviously. But at some point or another, almost any team in the country is going to have a moment in fall camp when they're sluggish. So, again, like, I'm not looking too much into that. It's definitely concerning. It's not what you want to hear, especially when, you know, the game is 2 weeks away. But I'm not overthinking it, I guess.
Okay. All right. Coming up on the show, we got more talk about specific players. We're going to talk about a newcomer at defensive end, the quarterback spot, which needs to be talked about more. It just needs to be. We're going to do a little bit more buy-sell. We're going to talk about some player props. Let's do that right now, Riley. Let's talk about the Bet Saracen player props. Bet Saracen, download it. I'm sure a lot of you have heard all the stuff about Bet Saracen this week. Don't have a comment on it. Don't really fully understand it. I mean, I do, but I don't feel like explaining it at all. So check out Best of Arkansas Sports and our friend Andrew Hutchinson if you want to read about. There's a lot of stuff going on NIL related with Bet Saracen. But right now we're going to talk about their player props. So if you go on their app, their mobile app, Bet Saracen, check them out. Download it wherever you get your mobile apps. The first thing you'll see on the homepage is the 2024-25 regular season Arkansas Razorbacks double R season player props. Riley McFerrin, some of these look good, some of these do not look good.
Yes. So you already said your favorite, which is not my favorite. And the one you said, I actually hadn't really taken a look at. But my two that I picked in the Bet Saracen story we put out earlier this week, number one, more of a, you know, smaller play, not a long shot, is the Braylon Russell over 199.5 rushing yards and over 4.5 rushing touchdowns. I think, you know, we've kind of been talking about Braylon Russell all offseason. The dude just is a monster. And, you know, looking back at Arkansas's recent history with freshman running backs, going back to Rocket Sanders, his freshman year, he had over 200 rushing yards and at least, I think he had 5 touchdowns. Rashad Dubinion as a freshman had over 200 and 5 touchdowns. And Isaiah Augustov had over 200, but only two touchdowns. And that was last season. So, you know, do you think he'll be a little bit better or more productive than Isaiah Augustov? I personally think so. And so I think that's a pretty good bet at plus 150 odds. My other favorite is the Andrew Armstrong prop, over 799.5 receiving yards and over 54.5 receptions. I think he came just short of that receiving yard mark last year. I don't have it exactly pulled up. I think it was around 750-ish. And then I think he may have hit that reception marker, was right next to it. So, and that's at plus 350 odds in a Bobby Petrino offense as the number one receiver. So if he can stay healthy, I think that one has a pretty good shot. If you want something with a little bit of higher odds, I think that one has a pretty good shot of fitting this season.
Okay. The Rashad Dibinion one, I mean, I feel good about it. You're talking about a guy who is RB2 behind Jaquinen Jackson. I mean, he's going to get his touches as long as he stays healthy. You worry a little bit about injuries with Dibinion because he's had a few. He's had the knee bother him a little bit in fall camp. But it's over 249.5 rushing yards and over 99.5 receiving yards. So, I mean, he's had 250-plus rushing yards the past two seasons when he was, like, RB3 behind Rocket and A.J. Green. Now you're telling me he's RB2. And, you know, I don't know if they prefer him as, like, a receiving back over maybe Rodney Hill. But 100 receiving yards, he did that his freshman year. And he that was on 12 receptions. He caught 14 passes last year, a little bit less. But I was thinking earlier, I was like, you know, you think about last year's offense, 14 receptions, and this year's offense probably goes a little bit of a longer ways than in last year's offense.
No, I agree. I think that is a pretty good one, actually. At plus 420 odds, that you're going to make some pretty good bank back, too, if it hits. So,
yeah,
I think that's a sneaky good one as well.
Yep. Real quick, like, while I'm talking, the team posted a clip of Jaquinen Jackson just trucking Anthony Switzer. Ooh. So they'll keep that one, but they'll delete the Hudson Clark.
They'll delete it on. You can't have the Hudson Clark one on there.
Hold on. I got to post it. Jaquinen Jackson. What should my caption be? Let's do this live. Jaquinen Jackson. Or should I say, get off the tracks when Jaquinen Jackson is coming through?
That's a pretty good one. I think that one will hit well.
Because he got mad at me. That's one thing we got to talk about. He got mad at me when I labeled him as a power back.
That's right. He did not like the way you kind of put him in a corner.
Okay, but here we go. This is the second time they posted a highlight of him trucking somebody. What do you want me to do?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of exactly what power backs do. So, you know, kind of fits his description pretty well.
I also don't think that he's just a power back, but if you had to label him as, like, one specific type of back, I think he would lean power back over anything.
Right. I definitely wouldn't call him a speed back.
No.
So I would lean power back as well. I don't think you were wrong in that designation.
Okay. Shout out Bet Saracen. Go check him out. Thank you to Bet Saracen. And also, please gamble responsibly. Always got to say that one. So, all right, Riley, let's talk about some buy or sell. Let's go ahead and do this real quick, okay? Let's start with Anton Jukaj, because that is a name that we heard a lot about on Thursday after the scrimmage. So he had a concussion for I don't know exactly how many days, but he missed a significant amount of fall camp so far with a concussion, but he's back. And Sam Pittman basically said that he looks like a completely different player than he did in the spring. So, I mean, an FCS All-American transfer from Albany, right?
Right.
I always get that. I get that mixed up. I always want to say Akron for some reason. And then Larry Worth and Anthony Switzer, I get them mixed up.
Yes. So kind of my thought process, you know, in the spring, he definitely, I feel like, looked like a guy that was coming from the FCS a little bit more than maybe you had hoped. And like you said, he's been dealing with injuries in the fall, and now all of a sudden he's looking amazing. You know, we just haven't seen enough of him. And so for me personally, I'm not saying I'm selling his stock, but I'm not buying it. So you might have more on that than me. You've been to more practices than I have. Maybe you've seen him a little bit more recently. I mean, the dude has great size, and he was amazing at Albany. I almost said Akron because of you. But, you know, it's kind of hard to – just based on everything that's happening recently, it's hard to justify buying a stock right now.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing The thing is like the way that they were talking him up, and specifically
that's also true. Pittman,
I mean, like I have to not buy it at where the price is right now, because the price right now I feel like is, based on what we heard from Sam Pittman, is he's potentially a starting defensive end, right. And I just don't think he's overtaken Nico Davie yet. I really like Quincy Rhodes. And to be honest with you, I haven't seen a ton of Anton Jukoc. That doesn't mean that he's not good. They've seen much more of him than I have. And Landon Jackson had good things to say about him too. So we'll see. But right now, I'm gonna hold my stock on him.
It's a big question mark right now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's kind of another question mark in a long line of question marks for this defense, you know, especially the linebacker room. If he is a starting defensive end type of guy, and you got Nico Davie behind him and Quincy Rhodes behind him, I mean, that's a pretty scary, I feel like, defensive end room.
Yeah. Okay. Buy or sell TJ Metcalf?
Well, kind of like you were saying with Anton, the stock is at an all-time high right now, I feel like. I mean, he just had 2 interceptions. He's the most improved player on the defense. I mean, do I buy it now when it's at an all-time high? I should have bought it last week. I don't know if we brought his name up. And so do I think he's going to kind of hold this level of play all throughout the year or be that kind of a guy? Probably not, at least not consistently. So am I buying it? No. But do I think it's possible? Yes. I'm certainly holding. I'm not selling. I think maybe at some point I will buy his stock. At some point this year, it's got to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to buy the TJ Metcalf stock, man. Okay. I'm going to buy it not just for this year, but I'm buying it for the future, right? Because like I think that he's going to end up being a pretty good player. You talked about the Metcalf bloodline. Football runs in that blood. It runs in that family. And the way that we're hearing about how he is like kind of had things click mentally after his freshman year, in the work ethic that he has, it really just makes me think that he's going to get even better. My next one, this is my last buy or sell, and then we're going to get into our top 5 defensive backs, because that is, I feel like that's a position that really needs to get figured out as far as like who are your top 5 guys. But my last buy or sell, we heard from Marcus Woodson, co-defensive coordinator, secondary coach, this week, that linebacker is the deepest position on the team. Are you buying or selling that? I don't even know if you could buy or sell that stock, but I guess linebacker or selling.
I'm buying it. I think the linebacker room, I don't know what it is, but I mean, man, Larry Wirth, the dude. I mean, he seems like a dude. Steven Dix Jr. seems like a dude. That's all they talk about. They're experienced, they're built, they've been there and done that. Brad Spence, I'm a big fan of him. I think I like how he can line up on the edge and rush the passer. And then I haven't even mentioned, you know, a guy like, I don't know how much they're going to contribute, but Bradley Shaw, I mean, the guy was uber talented, and he's at the bottom of that depth chart, which I think kind of tells you. Anthony Switzer, you know, even though his position is a little weird, a little flexible, and he did just get sharked by Jaquinden Jackson, I think at that linebacker spot, his versatility is pretty big, the Swiss Army knife. And so, you know, you lose guys like Jaheim Thomas and Chris Poupol Jr., but I don't know. I think while it is a big question mark, I am buying the stock that this linebacker room will at least be, you know, it'll be serviceable. Remember that this is all relative, right? I'm not saying that they're going to go out and sport a Georgia or Alabama level linebacker core, but, you know, I think it'll be pretty solid.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it, because to be honest with you, Riley, here's how I feel about it. I can't imagine even questioning this coaching staff and their ability to reload in the linebacker room. I can't imagine being the person that tries to tell this coaching staff who they should try to recruit. And they knew what they were doing when they were building this linebacker room. They had a vision, and it might have taken them halfway through spring practice to locate some of that vision in the transfer portal and get them to come in post spring. But boy, did they, Riley! And they've got a good linebacker room, don't they?
They did, and you know what? I am never going to doubt Travis Williams' ability to recruit in the transfer portal again. I'm not going to go any deeper than that.
Not that you did, though.
Not that I did. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not going to doubt him.
It was concerning. Arkansas lost its top four linebackers. It was concerning, right? It really
there was
a
legitimate concern. And so, but I mean, based off of the results so far, I think he did a good job. I'm not buying a lot of stock. I'm not going all in, but I'm gonna buy a little bit. I'm gonna go with T. Will here.
Okay. Let's talk about our top five DBs. Let's do this real quick, and then we got top five DBs. I gotta talk about Monte Harrison going viral again because it's kind of annoying. And I think that might be it, right? We got to talk about how many wins it takes for Sam to keep his job.
Yep.
Top five DBs. So Jalen Braxton, one, yep, for sure. Lock him in. Jaden Johnson, lock him in.
Okay.
You can log Jaden Johnson in. I promise you that. Danico Slaughter, I feel like, whether it's at hog or safety, I think he's played both. I think you got to lock him in. So then you got to figure out there's a whole lot of guys after that. You got a lot of names. Hudson Clark, Jaheim Singletary, Keon Stewart, Marquise Robinson, TJ Metcalf, even Selman Bridges.
Yep. So whenever you initially proposed this question to me, I was thinking five, like most talented, maybe not the most clear to start. And so now looking at it from that point of view, I do agree Jaden Johnson is a lock. You know, like you said, obviously Jalen Braxton, Danico Slaughter. For me, the next two after that, I think have to be Jaheim Singletary. Personally, I think he's going, I don't know if he'll make or ever reach that five-star potential, but I think he's next in line to be one of those guys. And then Marquise Robinson. Did he get some first team work this week with Braxton out?
Yeah, he had a concussion, missed a few days, and then ever since he came back, he's literally been first team corner every day that we've seen. So
yeah, and I feel like I haven't watched him a ton, but when I do watch him, he's really fiery, feisty. He's really aggressive, and I think that's big in a T Will defense and in that secondary. And I like his experience, and so I think he could end up being that opposite corner from Jalen Braxton that teams kind of are afraid of, similar to Braxton. I don't know if he'll be as good, but you know, I do think he's in that five-man defensive back rotation.
Yeah. Another name I forgot to mention was Miguel Mitchell.
He's a weird one. I don't know what's going on with him on the depth chart, but certainly an interesting one.
Yeah, no. I like what they've got going on in the secondary, man. If you want to talk about five most talented, I mean, Jalen Braxton won for sure. I don't know. That's tough. That's tough after Jalen Braxton.
I feel like Selman Bridges is probably in there. I mean, talented, you know, obviously he's a freshman. So
okay,
like experience wise.
Okay, let's maybe not say talented. Five best. Give me your five best defensive backs.
Five best. Jalen Braxton.
Jalen Braxton's one. Jaden Johnson, for sure. I think Jaheim Singletary. I think Hudson Clark.
Okay.
I think Hudson Clark has to play at safety right now. I mean, dude, he's been playing in this. He's been playing college football.
Yeah, I mean, he's been here, done that. So,
so what do we have? So now we got to talk nickel. Danico Slaughter. Danico Slaughter, your nickel. So
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I think maybe I still feel like Marquise Robinson could fit in there somewhere, but we haven't seen enough of him yet.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard to pinpoint. Also, we're kind of going back now, but the stock of Keon Stewart. I mean, he started out on first team, didn't he, in fall camp, and he's kind of fallen off a little bit.
Yeah, he was third team at one point this week. I don't think that really meant anything though. But he's another one. Like, if you want to buy or sell stock, you could buy some Keon
big buy
Stewart
play.
Stock low right now.
Yeah, big opportunity there.
Yeah. So okay. Let's move on to this Monte Harrison stuff real quick. So Monte Harrison, everybody who's an Arkansas fan for the most part knows about him. 10-year Major League Baseball veteran. He's now a freshman walk-on wide receiver for the team. He's a walk-on because Major League Baseball pays for his school. He doesn't need a scholarship. He's been playing first-team offense, man, and it hasn't just been once. And we've been hearing that he's going to play. And – so that's one thing, but now he's going viral on the internet, and it's the freaking aggregator football accounts. You know what I'm talking about? Like the ML footballs, the Dove Kleinmans of the world.
Yes.
And so it's just kind of annoying because normally this stuff happens with like NFL. We see a lot of NFL news get aggregated like this, but it's just annoying to see it get aggregated from an Arkansas perspective, which it still happens. There's a ton of like fan accounts on Instagram and even Twitter and stuff like that that do it with Arkansas stuff, but not to this level where like they're getting millions of impressions off of it.
So I guess I'm unaware of what exactly went viral this time. What was it?
It's the video I sent you. It's literally just the play from last week's scrimmage.
Oh, okay.
Where he catches the touchdown from Malachi Singleton. And the worst part about it is that I posted it on Twitter, and I know that everybody is going off of my post because the wording is the same in all of the viral posts, that Monte Harrison, a freshman who turns 29 years old Saturday, he played pro baseball for 10 years. Now, he turned 29 years old last Saturday, so everybody who's been reposting this week saying that he turns 29 this Saturday when he turned 29 last Saturday.
That's a dead giveaway right there. Yeah, I mean, you got to hate – I don't hate the aggregator accounts, but, like, you're taking advantage of other people's work and creativity. But, you know, hey, shout-out to Monte Harrison. He's doing good. I wasn't fully expecting him to be able to fit in and be – I certainly wasn't expecting him to be a first-team contributor. I thought maybe he could help, but, I mean, he seems like a guy that might actually help this season.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Speaking of this season, Riley, everybody's asking, it's that time of year, what's your prediction? Now, we're not going to give our full season predictions, but I did go on a podcast recently and I was asked, what's the minimum amount of wins that Sam Pittman needs to keep his job? And I gave an honest answer, a realistic answer, and I kind of got burned online for it. And whatever, first of all. Second of all, I still kind of believe it. Now, I might have been humbled a little bit to 6-6, but I said 5-7. 6-6 is for sure. 6-6, he for sure keeps his job. 100%. So we got to talk. Is 5 wins enough, Riley?
In my opinion, so this is kind of hard to separate because you got to think it from Hunter Yurecek's perspective, right? Is 5 wins enough for him to justify keeping him around? And I don't want to like go too deep into conspiracy stuff or whatever, but you know, I think as we all know, this is a football school. It's kind of a basketball school too, but in the SEC, football is dominant. And so, you know, athletic directors are judged on the main sport for their school. And so that means football. And so does Wood Hunter Yurecek in that situation want to, you know, bank on another 5-7 year? In my opinion, no. I think and he even said what over the offseason when he was talking about it, he wanted to get back to 6-7 wins, you know, getting back to that bowl game. So I think coming short of that mark, going 5-7, personally, that isn't enough for me. You know, even though there's a lot of question marks on this team, you got Bobby Petrino. Like that was the big thing, selling the fan base on Bobby Petrino. I think you gotta get to a bowl game after a 4-8 year. So I but I do agree. 6-6, I think, in my opinion. You know, whether that's a good or a bad thing, I think that's a lock for Pittman to return.
Yeah. So let's just say 6-6 then. Let me right now at this moment in time. No, I'm not going to admit that I was wrong because it could happen. They could go 5-7. He could keep his job and I could look like a freaking genius. So I'm not going to admit I was wrong until I have to. So if Arkansas goes 5-7 this year and Sam Pittman gets fired, I'll admit I was wrong. That's a very specific scenario that needs to happen where I could be wrong. So really, in this situation, how wrong can I be for something that hasn't happened, right?
Yeah, right. I guess you're sitting on a pretty good pedestal right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sitting on a pedestal. I'm just stating facts. Okay. Well, I think that about does it, Riley. I don't have much else to add.
I do want to say, real quick, the AP poll did come out. Arkansas, I know, shocking to most, was not in it, did not receive a single vote. And then finally, Mason, this is the, I believe, last weekend without college football. Next week, week zero, I mean, August 24th, we got games. So very exciting time in sports world right now.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. I'm happy. I'm a football guy, so I'm ready for it. I've been watching preseason football, dude. I was watching the Chiefs and the Jags clipping every time Cam Little kicked a field goal.
Yeah, I just don't want to hear about the Chiefs, I'm going to be honest.
Oh.
49ers are still dealing with the Brandon Ayuk situation right now, so I don't want to hear about the Chiefs.
Oh, touchy subject, eh?
Yeah, we won't get into that on this podcast. Sorry, radio show.
We got a Niners fan and a Chiefs fan. What could go wrong?
Yeah, two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, I don't really have much else to add other than check out hogbeat.com, because here's the thing. If we were going to talk about everything that happened for Arkansas during fall camp just this week alone, we'd be on this podcast for hours, days, maybe even, Riley. And so you got to go to hogbeat.com to check out everything that you're missing. If you're like, well, what the heck did Bobby Petrino say on Tuesday about Taylen Green? Well, you can go read about that on hogbeat.com. If you want to know, did Travis Williams say that Arkansas should have a greedy defense? Yeah, we wrote about that on hogbeat.com. If you want to read any of Riley's work,
which you should.
I mean, let's just be honest here. I'm the one who edits his work, so is it really Riley's work at that point, or is it my work? If you see Riley's name on work, just know that Mason had something to do with that. Just
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways, on hogbeat.com, just go check it out, hawgbeat.com. Please subscribe if you don't mind. We have a lot of premium content. Most of our football practice content is premium, so you got to pay for it. And a lot of people enjoy it, man. It's not just football. Jackson Collier has been providing freaking basketball nuggets left and right freaking every day, dude. I can't keep up with it.
No, if you want the scoop firsthand on Arkansas basketball, recruiting, schedule, anything, Jackson Collier is the man. So make sure to go to Hogbeat for that.
Yeah, not just confirming something. It is right. It is straight from the source.
Exactly. So, yes.
Check out hogbeat.com. Really appreciate everybody listening. And we will talk to everybody next week on Hogbeat Radio.